Well, good morning. Thank you for coming this morning. Good to see some smiling faces. You know, a couple weeks ago, we were in a series of, and it was called Intentionality, and it was just talking about being intentional in our lives about things. In a sense, New Year resolution type thinking that let's make this new year different than last year. And so a couple weeks ago, and the subtitle to the sermon is called Flipping the Switch. And it was in the context that we are spiritual beings have a human experience, which is different from the way most of the world views spirituality. In other words, they see themselves as humans having some spiritual moments from time to time. But that's not what God says about you and I. Before we had these body suits, these physical flesh and blood bodies, the Bible says that God knew us. He knew us before any days were numbered in our lives. So in a sense, we were spiritual already before we came to the earth. Now, we didn't know that, if you get what I'm saying. And then we're going to have all of eternity and live as spiritual beings. And again, we get new physical bodies and all that. But we are spiritual beings having a human experience down here on this earth. And that was the main emphasis. But with that was the fact that if we're spiritual beings, then we're to operate in the fruit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Then that needs to be a primary foundation for our lives. And we talked a lot about that. And you can find that online at our YouTube site. It's Reach Out Church NY. So if you go to YouTube and type in Reach Out Church NY, no spaces, you'll find us and you'll see that, you know, and it's called Intentionality Flipping the Switch if you want to go deeper into that. But I want to take a moment just to make sure we're all on the same page here, just to take a moment and just look at the fruits and the gifts just in a brief sort of way so we can kind of launch from that into what I've got for you today. And so we know that the fruits of the Spirit, they're listed. There's 9 different ones that are listed in Galatians 5:22, and they'll put them up. And it is, I'll go over here, look at this. I'm doing it. There we go. Who says an old dog can't learn new tricks? Come on, there I am, right here. All right, but this is weird. It is weird, all right? I'll be okay, I think. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And we made the point last week that it says, but the fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't say, but the fruits of the Spirit. So it's singular. And so in some Bibles, actually, after the word love, there's a semicolon. So I believe that it's better from the original language to say this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, showing through joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I believe that's a more accurate translation. And in fact, I could show you a half a dozen scriptures through the New Testament that basically shows us that, all right? So I encourage you to think about this, that everything we do as far as demonstrating Jesus to the world around you is love manifested in different ways. And we're showing what that fruit is. Now listen, a apple tree doesn't have to strain or stress to make apples. Tomato plant doesn't have to fuss over producing a tomato plant. It just does it naturally. As children of God, all you have to do is love Jesus, and that love will be reciprocal back on you and will just come out of you to the world around. You know, you don't have to. I pray you've gotten past a point where you've got a frustrating person in your life, and I say, okay, God, I know I have to love this person. I know. And you're trying to make it happen. Do you know that they feel that? You get what I'm saying when you're forcing it? So here's a better thing to do is say, Jesus, help me to share what you've done for me to those around me. And then it doesn't matter if the person's a difficult person or not. You will just do that. And again, go to him. He's the one that will help you, all right? And so the fruit of the Spirit, it demonstrates the character and nature of Jesus in and through you to the world around you. Amen? We also talked about the gifts of the Spirit briefly, all right? And they're found in 1 Corinthians 12, and we showed, you know, 3 different categories of them. You guys want to pop that up? And we talked about the speaking gifts and the revealing gifts and the doing gifts, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, gift of faith, gift of healing, gift of working of miracles. And what can happen is that we get into this thing where, okay, which gift do I have? Do I have the gift of faith or the gift of this? Listen to me. Do you have all of Jesus living in your heart? Or a piece of him? Do you just have a piece of the Holy Spirit? Or do you have the Holy Spirit living in you? You have all of him, amen? I believe that all of those gifts are available to every single believer. And if you were the only person, the only believer in a circumstance, and God needed one of those gifts to flow through you, guess who he's going to call on?
You.
He's going to call on you, all right? But the thing is, there are people who have specialty areas. There's no doubt about it, all right? So you got a group of Christians here in the church, for example. Then you have certain people here operate in different gifts at a better level than other people. They're more specialists in it. Why? Because God has chosen that, all right? So don't get jealous about somebody else doing something. Just figure out what your gift is and operate in it so people can get jealous about you, all right? You get what I'm saying? In other words, you just do what you're called to do and don't worry about what's going on around you. And that's why the Apostle Paul calls the church the body of Christ. Every part doing something different, but as a whole, the body is healthy. Amen? And so all these gifts represent all those different areas. And so we talked a little bit about that. And what's interesting about it is the Apostle Paul goes on in the next chapter in 1 Corinthians 13, and that's known as what in the Bible? Anybody remember? The love chapter. You know, parts of it is read at weddings, you know, love is this and love is that, and it doesn't do this and doesn't do that. And then it ends, I think, in verse 8, love never fails, you know. And we read that a lot of times at weddings, and nothing wrong with that, but actually the context of it is actually talking about using the gifts demonstrated in love. Amen? And so there's a summary scripture that the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, he makes this statement. I want you to just see this. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. And here's what he says. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. So look, I'm going this way now. I'm doing good. I'm really trying, all right? I'm really trying. So pursue love. What does that mean? Like that's, you know, you might think, oh, well, that means that, you know, I need to pursue my bride, for example. So Sandra and I, this September, are going to be married for 40 years. Hard to believe, right? It's gone by so fast. I'm not sure if it's been as fast for her as me, but anyways, it's 40 years. And so does that mean, you know, I'm just to keep pursuing Sandra and, you know, keep driving her crazy as I have for the last 40 years, you know? No, that's not really what this is talking about. In fact, the word love there is actually agape, and it's used in the context of a God kind of love. And so really what the Apostle Paul is saying is pursue the God kind of love. Chase after it. And again, in the context of it, it's all talking about the gifts. In other words, to demonstrate the gifts by pursuing God kind of love. And then it goes on and says, and desire spiritual gifts. So please, do not be modest about gifts. It's like, oh, well, you know, if God's going to give me a gift, he'll give it to me. You know, there's other people that are maybe more qualified than me. Will you get over that? Will you just get over that weird false pride, weird humility kind of garbage? Can I tell you something that Jesus, the Bible says, ascended on high. And that's in the context of this. He gave his life on the cross of Calvary, did everything that he did, and then he went back to heaven. And as he ascended on high, it says in Ephesians, that he gave gifts to mankind. In other words, he showered us with gifts. And you know what those gifts are? The gifts of the Spirit. And again, where is the Holy Spirit? Anybody know?
In
you. So that means the gifts are there and they're waiting to be opened and utilized. And here we're commanded. It doesn't say, oh, if you feel like it, pursue the gifts. It says pursue them, desire them. In other words, you need to go after them. That's why much of the church of Jesus doesn't function in the gifts. Nobody's pursuing them. They're like, well, you know, I don't know. It kind of feels weird. Yeah, it does feel weird. Anytime you do something different, even me walking to the screen over here feels different. It's weird. Now, operating in the gifts are far more weird, okay? Because you're not used to it. But here's the thing. God has called you and I to be vessels not only of his love, to demonstrate the fruit and character of Jesus, but also to love on people by using the gifts to demonstrate real love. What did Jesus do? Did he walk through the world for the 33 and a half years and he saw somebody going through a hard time, say, oh, I feel bad, and carry on? No, he did something about it. And the only way you and I can do something about it is to function in the gifts. All right? You know, you can't just throw money at stuff unless Jesus tells you to. All right? You can't just take somebody to the hospital unless Jesus tells you to. In other words, those are nice things to do if you see a physical need. That's all okay. But God wants you to go way beyond that. He wants you to be a demonstrator of him walking on the earth. When he left this world, what did he say? You can read it at the end of every gospel. Here's what he said. I'm going to paraphrase it. Go do what I did. That's literally what he says. Go do what I did. And what did he do? He demonstrated every character of God perfectly because he was God. And he demonstrated every gift of the Spirit because he was God. Now, I know you and I aren't God. I get that. And if I was God, I'm not sure I would choose us to do what this, all right? But he has chosen for you and I to demonstrate Jesus on this earth. We're not just here to have a good time, not just here to save up money for our future, and all those things are fine. You can have a good time, you can save money, do all that, but we're here for a purpose, and that is to be a light for Jesus. And again, enjoy your life while you're doing it. Save money for your future. Why? So you can help other people when you get old too. You know what I'm saying? So you're barely getting along yourself? No, so that you can help others. It's all about those around you. Amen? Oh, you took my scripture away. Can you put it back up on this side for me? Thank you. But it's over there too. Oh, man, let's go here. But it's, now, here's what I want you to see. This is so important. Desire spiritual gifts. Then it says, Paul just throws this thing in, but especially that you may prophesy. So of all the gifts, he's saying, but look at prophecy you need to pursue. Prophecy is like above everything else. That's what he's saying. You might say, well, hold it. You know, does that mean that I'm supposed to come up and say, you know, thus saith the Lord God? And you know, say, maybe. But that's actually not what it's talking about, really. You see, really, for you to operate in any gift of the Spirit, you have to be prophetic. So let me define the word prophecy for a minute. There's two words that come to mind that have helped me, all right? A guy by the name of Jack Hayford was the first guy that I've seen him talk about this. There's other people who maybe brought this up. But he made the point that prophecy can be a forthtelling. Interesting, right? Forthtelling. Well, what does that mean? What it means is it's literally to take maybe a scripture verse or something that's been said in the past and it's relevant for a moment right now. And that's a forthtelling. In other words, it's a word in season. All right? That, you know, someone's in need in front of you and you're like, Lord, what do I do? You know, and you're like, and the Lord speaks to your heart and says, say this, or quote this scripture verse, or this partial verse. And that is a forthtelling to that individual, okay? So that's the first thing, forthtelling. But then there's another part of it, and it's another word, starts with F, foretelling. And that's, in a sense, where most of us think of prophecy, where, you know, it's a word from the Lord for that situation, for that, you know, I believe God is saying this, you know, and you say that to that person. You know, it's a foretelling. In other words, it's a prediction. It's telling them, this is what I believe God is saying. And so they're similar, but a little bit different. So prophecy is foretelling or forthtelling. And God has given this to each person. You are a prophetic people. Here's why. If you want to operate in the gift of healing, for example, well, how do you know what to do? Well, you need to hear a word from the Lord. It needs to be a foretelling or a foretelling from the Lord for you then to operate in that. Every gift of the Spirit you have to be prophetic in. You hear what I'm saying? So you may not be a prophet, you know, that person set aside to the office of that, but you need to still be able to hear from God. And I bring all this up because God rebuked me. A couple of weeks ago, here I am talking about the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit, and I was pretty proud of myself. I did a pretty good job presenting it to help people, you know, understand this a little bit. And the Lord said, I'm putting the cart before the horse. I said, well, what do you mean? And here's what he said to me. He said, son, they can't operate in the gifts unless they can hear my voice. And so that's what I want to talk to you about today, to be able to hear the voice of God. And we need to talk about this a little bit. And I need to show you some things in the Word. That's where I'm going to point you to, is the Word, about how you can begin to maybe hear a little clearer. So let's go back and talk for a few moments about a guy by the name of Samuel. And it's back in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Give you a little bit of background. Samuel's mother, Hannah, couldn't have children. So, you know, again, shortening this story down, I encourage you to read 1 Samuel, start at chapter 1. Awesome account, right? She couldn't have children. went and to the tabernacle at that time in Shiloh and was praying, and Eli the priest thought she was drunk because she was just, her mouth was moving, and she says, "No, I'm just praying," you know, and he says, "Well, whatever your request is, may God grant it." So she ends up having a baby, and after 5 years, she weans the baby. Back in those days, they breastfed for a long time because that was the only way to keep a baby healthy. And then she dedicated him to the Lord. And actually, he went and lived in the tabernacle with Eli the priest at probably about 5-6 years old. And so every year she would come and bring him a little tunic that she would make. And he prospered, did really well there. And so we're picking up the story where maybe he's 10, 12, 13, 14 years old. You know, a young man at this point. And just follow along with the story as we read it, all right? So I'm reading from 1 Samuel 3, verse 1. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and there was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time while Eli was laying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of the God was, man, what a long sentence, and where Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, "Here I am." So he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And Eli said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. Then the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel rose, went to Eli, and said, "Here I am, for you called me." He answered, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Verse 10. Now the Lord came and stood and called as other times, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." And from this point on, became a lifelong relationship between Samuel and the Lord. And a few verses on, it makes this point that not one word of Samuel's fell to the ground. And what that means, it's kind of Old Testamentese, you know, kind of talk. What it really meant was that if he said God said something, it always came to pass. Not one thing. He didn't mess up on one thing. And it's not said of any other prophet like that. It's pretty amazing. My point in bringing up this story is this, that you can see that here's Samuel. He didn't know the voice of the Lord. In fact, he thought it was his mentor, thought that it was Eli the priest. I've heard it said that for some people, when they first hear from God, that the voice sounds like a mentor from their life. You know, it wasn't the case for me. I know that for many, that's the case. I will assure you that it was not some spirit form of your mentor from the past coming to talk to you, though. I just want you to be aware of that. That is unscriptural and just way out there, all right? Now, the person's voice or that voice may sound like that with the idea of getting your attention. You know, if you had someone in your life that was an authority figure that you respected, may sound similar in some ways. And whether that's true or not for you, irrelevant, but I'm just making the point. Either way, it took time for Samuel to learn the voice of the Lord. Now, what made the connection? Eli gave the instruction, and what was it? "Speak, Lord, for I'm listening." So the question I have for you and I today is, are you ready to hear from Jesus? Are you ready? Or are you one of those kind of people when you go to pray, it's like, "Well, Lord, here's what I got going on today." Blah, 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 blah. And you go on and on and on and on. And then when you're done, "Okay, Lord, see you later." And sign off, so to speak. Okay, what about the part, "Speak, Lord, I'm listening"? And there are times we need to tell God what's going on in our lives. But I want to say something to you. He already knows. Just letting you know. Now again, sometimes we still need to say these things to him for us to help know what's on our hearts. And so I'm okay with that. But let me tell you something. Give some time for Jesus to speak back to you. At least half time. Listen, if you set 20 minutes aside to pray, you better give him at least 10 minutes. And you know what I've learned? I give him about 19 and a half minutes. That's what I've learned, because I realize he already knows everything that I've got going on. And it's like, Lord, I just need to hear from you. And I want to give him as much space and as much time for him to talk. Amen? But again, we're all different. So sometimes we need to kind of verbalize. I know some of you, I've met some of you, you're outside thinkers. I get it. It all just kind of like has to come out for you to internalize it, to kind of take it back in. So if you're that kind of person, I get it. But please leave time for God to speak. And so that's why I brought this up. And so there are very few people I know that can just instantly, they come to know Jesus, and instantly they can hear from God clearly. I know very few people like that. It takes time to be able to hone those skills, to be able to hear from him, especially in the world of the many voices that we have now. And I'll talk about that in a few minutes, all right? And so here's the thing. You might say, well, you know what? Samuel, that's Old Testament. He was a special guy. He's kind of like Moses, right? Or Daniel, right? Or Abraham, or Deborah the prophet, right? You know, they're special people. And why would God want to talk to little old me? Has anybody ever thought that?
No.
My hand's up. Just so you know, Norm. Yeah, it's like, man, I don't deserve to hear from Jesus. Like, man, he's got bigger fish to fry. He's got, you know, more important people, more important places to be. And so I don't know whether that's crossed your mind, but it has mine, especially in the early years. But here's the thing. Jesus has something to say about this. So let's just look at it in the New Testament. And we are New Testament believers. Can you say amen? You know, the Old Testament is there. It's a foreshadowing of things to come, but it's just a shadow of the substance of Christ in the New Testament, all right? And so here's what it says in John 10, verse 27. Jesus says, and I quote, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Now, it doesn't say some of my sheep hear my voice. It doesn't say only special sheep hear my voice. It doesn't say, you get what I'm saying? It says my sheep. And what does that mean? My believers, those who acknowledge me as Lord and Savior, they hear my voice, and I know them, I know who they are, and they follow me. Now, you might say, well, okay, if that's true, then we all should be able to clearly hear the voice of Jesus, right? Well, let me just show you something from the original language. It's very, very interesting. So it says, my sheep, right? Who's a sheep here? Any sheep here?
Yeah,
bah, you should be able to say bah, right? We're all sheep here, all right? And so here we are, all right? It says, my sheep. Now, the very interesting thing is that word sheep, when you look it up in the original language, it means four-footed animal, all right? But it also, as part of the definition, that's moving forward or pursuing forward. That's in the name of the word sheep in the original Greek. That's literally what it says. So now, all of a sudden, we have a little bit deeper understanding. In other words, my sheep that pursue me, that want to hear my voice, I know them and they follow me. That's what it's saying. So that leads to the question is, are you pursuing Jesus today? You can know Jesus, but you may not be pursuing him. And yet here's what the word says, my sheep know my voice. In other words, if you're a sheep that's pursuing after him, that you're reading his word, that you're spending time in prayer, you're pursuing him, you will hear his voice. It doesn't say you might hear his voice or you could hear his voice. It says, I know you, I know the ones that are pursuing after me, and they will follow me. Why? Because they heard his voice. How can you follow Jesus unless you hear his voice? And so literally that's what it's saying. And so the question you've got to ask yourself, am I pursuing Jesus? So, so important. All right. And so with this, I got a couple questions come to me. I'm that guy that I put myself in your seat and I'm saying, okay, yeah, you're talking about all this. Well, okay, why do I need to hear the voice of the Lord? Why? And let me just give you a couple. Some of them we've talked about already, but for those that need some, you know, put the thoughts together, let me just give these to you. First of all, to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. Right? That we already said that. You've got to be able to hear from them to really function in the gifts of the Spirit. All right, so you've got that. How about this for direction?
Amen.
You need to hear from Jesus for direction in your life. You know, you're buying a house, for example. Now, here's what I suggest you don't do. You're buying a house, right? Okay, Jesus, should I buy this house? Yes or no? And depending on how you feel that day, you're like, I don't think I'm going to buy it. Or yes, I will. Listen to me. You need to do your due diligence. You need to get the house inspector to come, and they do their thing, right? You've got to make sure the title's free and clear. You got to do that. You got to go through and tour the place. You've got to, you know, look around. You've got to do all the stuff. And then once you've done all that, and all the paperwork's laying before you, and it appears like it might be a good house, then you're going to say, Jesus, what do I do here? In other words, he's still a part of it, and he's an important part of it. But listen to me. You and I need to do our due diligence still. Do not be that person that says, well, I'm just trusting Jesus, whatever he says. Listen to me. Stop that. Some of that is laziness. I'm just going to say it. I'm not making many friends this morning. And in fact, I got some more stuff to say. I am not making any friends today, but I believe I'm representing Jesus. You need to do this. You need to do your due diligence. Don't be a lazy Christian, all right? And then when you've done all your due diligence, you lay it all before the Lord, and then you say, Lord Jesus, do I have peace about moving forward with this or not? And then you decide what you're going to do. Amen? That's how you do it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Don't say, oh my, say amen, all right? You know, and I'm just telling you that don't be lazy butt about this, all right? Just do what God wants you to do. Okay, so the next thing, for correction and warning, we need to hear from him. So, you know, you got something going on in your life. The Holy Spirit will speak to you and say, listen, that guy's trying to rip you off, or that lady's trying to rip you off, or they've got false intents. You know, you need to hear from Jesus for that, all right? You know, God has what? Opened up your eyes. I said this at the first service. You might say this, I still haven't got it all together. Has anybody here got it all together? You notice my hand's not up. I haven't got it all together yet. But here's the thing. There's a saying that a one-eyed person is king in a world of blind people. Now, let me say that again, because if you've never heard it before, a one-eyed person, in other words, you only can see with one eye, is king in a world of blind people. Listen to me. The world has been blinded because of their sin. And our eyes have been opened to the light of Jesus. Now, Paul makes the point. He says it in Corinthians, right around where I've been reading the last couple of weeks. He says, look, we still see dimly. we're still not able to see perfectly clearly. We still haven't got it all together. But here's the thing. We can see still. In other words, you've got something that the world doesn't have. You can see a little bit, all right? You have some understanding. In other words, if everyone all of a sudden became blind in the world, literally physically blind, and only Christians could see, who would be sought after? We would be. Well, the reality of it is, spiritually, that is the way it is. And you've got people around you, each and every one of you, that are blind, that are lost. And they need to see the light of Jesus in and through you. And so I encourage you right now to be that light for him. And how do we do that? Through the fruits and gifts of the Spirit as we're led by the Spirit of God. So let's move on. How about this? For confirmation. There are times we believe God has spoken to us, and then you come up for prayer, for example. Some of the times when people come up for prayer, what are we believing for? That we can give you a confirming word in the decision you're making. So you can say, I really did hear from Jesus. Oh, that's awesome. How many people have had one of those? I've had many of them over the years. It's awesome, right? Just confirming. And that's one of the reasons as well, all right? And then the final one, so important, for what? Hope, comfort, and peace. How many people have experienced the peace of Jesus? In the midst of a turmoil situation, right? And you just got that peace on the inside. He's known as the comforter. And so you need to hear from him for those difficult circumstances. Okay, so that leads me to our last section for this morning. How do we prepare to begin to hear from the Lord? You know, if this isn't an automatic thing, right? So there's some things that we can do on our part. So I just want to give you these points and we'll finish up this morning. The first one is this. You need to develop a desire to hear from the Lord. You might say, well, doesn't everybody want to hear from Jesus? No, they don't. I've talked to so many Christians that are afraid to hear the voice of God. Now, I think that probably they've been reading the Old Testament a little too much, right? You know, you got the children of Israel at the mountain of God, right? And the thunder and the lightning. And it said, you know, if anybody even touches the mountain, that they'll be killed. And like, oh my God, Moses, go for us. I want to hear the voice, right? Listen to me. We are New Testament believers. The Old Testament's great. I read it on a regular basis. But listen to me. When Jesus spoke to any single person, did fear rise up in them? Not once. Everywhere Jesus went, when he spoke, life happened. Literally, dead people, he spoke and they came back to life, all right? You know, it doesn't get any better than that, right? But he went, everywhere he went, if there was something that was dying or almost dead, he brought life to it. He brought hope where there was hopelessness. He brought light where there was darkness. You hear what I'm saying? That's what he did, and that's what God has called you and I to do. And so important for us to realize that we should not be fearful to hear from God. We should actually count it as a privilege and a joy and a blessing. And you might say, what about this? Now, you know what I'm talking about. That thing that you've got that isn't quite right, and you know it's not quite right, and you're afraid that when God speaks, he's going to say, what's that? You know what I'm talking about, whatever that is, all right? And you've kind of got that hidden away, going to push back over here. Okay, I got a couple things you need to know. Jesus already knows about that, all right? And he's actually waiting for you to bring that to him. So he's not going to beat you up on that. He just wants to walk with you. He literally just wants to walk with you and talk with you and encourage you. And as you can begin to trust him more, guess what? You'll bring that out and say, Lord, I got this. And you know what he'll say? Give me that. Let me help you with that. Let me lessen the load. Let me lessen the guilt. Let me forgive you as you confess this to me. He knows already. Listen, you're not hiding anything from him, all right? So do not be afraid. As a believer in Jesus, do not be afraid of his voice, all right? God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, sound mind. So if you got fear rising up, that's not coming from Jesus, all right? So just put that thing out in the name of Jesus, all right? He absolutely loves you. Okay, next point. You need to learn. So the first point was develop a desire to hear from. In other words, pursue him, right? Second thing is learn to tune out or limit all the other voices in your life. Now, this is more difficult in this generation than any generation before us, all right? Scripture says this in Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth. Look at this in the Message Bible. I just love how, I know it's a paraphrase, but the way it was worded was so cool, all right? Here's what it says in the Message. Step out of the traffic. Take a long, loving look at me, your high God, above politics, above everything. I love that whole thing of step out of the traffic, right? The idea is we're in this rat race, right? And they got all the voices, everything's going on. And it, literally it's saying, step out of the traffic. Be still. Just let the traffic go on by. Pull off to the side of the road and take time to hear my voice. A number of years ago, I did this thing where I did a recording. This is back when you had CDs, and so on the CD, I recorded my voice, and it was the voice of God. And it was just, you know, I'm just talking quietly, you know, I love you, I care for you, you know, you're the apple of my eye, you know, just all that. And then on top of it, I recorded a bunch of other voices. You know, I threw Satan's voice in, I did this, you know, and did this whole thing. And then I put a bunch of other voices in, and I played it, and I said, can you hear God speaking in this? And at first, I don't know. And then what happened is I stripped a voice away one at a time. Till finally, there was that small, quiet voice, my voice that was representing God. And everyone said, yeah, I can hear it now. I'm like, well, what had to happen? We had to take all the other voices away. Let me tell you something. God is speaking to each and every one of you. In fact, even if you're unsaved and you're here, do you know that God is speaking to you? And he's telling you that he loves you right now? And that he'd like you to come to know him personally. And all you have to do is say yes, and he'll come and live in your heart. And you can become born again. Just that simple. He's speaking to you. In fact, if you're here and you're not born again, God brought you here for this very reason. For this very moment in time. To say that he loves you and he wants you to come into the kingdom. And it's as easy as saying yes. Is there anybody here that wants to say yes to Jesus? You've never invited Jesus into your heart. Ever, ever invited Jesus and you'd like to. Just put your hand up. There's anybody. Just want to make sure everyone knows the Lord or wants to know the Lord. They can know the Lord. If you're watching online, same for you online. You can make that decision right here and now. Amen. Well, looks like I don't see any hands. I'm pretty good at watching out here. Don't see any hands. Want to believe everyone's born again. That's good. Amen. But God even speaks to unbelievers. And he's whispering, saying, come on to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I'm humble, gentle in heart. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's the voice of Jesus. Now, again, that's from the scriptures, but that's his voice to the lost. It's his voice to the believers as well. Amen. He is speaking all of the time. But here's what happens. And I see this even on Sunday morning. I haven't seen anybody do it this morning, thank God. But because now I don't want to embarrass anybody. But your phone vibrates, right? And what's the first thing you do? I could be preaching, man. I could be on a tear, and man, it's good, right? And your phone goes buzz. And you can't help it. It's like, you just have to see, you know, and you know, who's texting me? What's going on? Now, that's in church. Now imagine from Monday to Saturday, the pull of your phone, Facebook, YouTube, your coworkers, advertising, radio, TV, all the different voices. Thousands a day of voices. And the Lord is saying, step out of the traffic. That actually might mean put your phone on silent for an hour when you pray. You're like, man, the whole world will go to hell. No, it won't. You're not that important, okay? You're not that important, all right? Just put it aside and take time to seek his face, amen? Shut the voices down. Diminish them as much as you can so you can hear that one voice that changes everything. All right, final point. Listen for the Holy Spirit's voice with a non-biased mindset. This is the hardest one of all. Psalms 85, verse 8. I will listen to what God the Lord says. He promises peace to his people, his faithful servants, but let them not turn to folly. Interesting scripture. Here's what the Lord is saying. You still have the power of choice. You can turn to folly. In other words, you can do whatever you want to do. But when you want to hear the voice of God, you can't go with biased opinions. Now, listen, we're living in a world now that there's... I've been down here in the U.S. since 1994. I've been here, moved from Canada down. I would say that we're living in one of the most turmoil times that I've ever seen here in America. You know, right now, the president that we have, you either love the guy or you hate him. It seems to be just this polarizing thing, all right? Now, here's the thing. What side should we be on? I'm going to be honest with you. We shouldn't be on either side. God hasn't called us to be on either side. See, I told you I wasn't going to make any friends today, all right? We're not called to be on either side, church. Here's what we're called to do according to the Word. We're to pray for those in authority over us. Now, if you have a biased opinion, I hate that guy, it's going to be pretty hard to pray for him with a non-biased attitude, isn't it? Or, I absolutely love that guy. Your prayers are still non-biased. You get what I'm saying? But we are called to pray. And you might say, well, Pastor Carl, that's not true. You know, everybody that's of this certain party, they're Christians. And the ones in this other party, they're heathens. They're all going to hell. That's a lie. And I quote Jesus himself when he was confronted of the politics of the day he lived in. Now, I want you to understand something for those that don't know. Do you realize that when Jesus lived in Israel at his time, that there was actually another nation had invaded and was occupying Israel at that time? They were called the Romans. So literally, they were occupying the country. Now, talk about a reason to want to say something. Do you know that Jesus never said one negative thing against the Romans? In fact, Scripture talks about if the Romans asked you to carry a load a certain distance, carry it twice as far. And when the Pharisees and Sadducees tried to trap Jesus, and they said, should we pay taxes to Caesar? What was the famous answer? Most of you know. You know, render unto Caesar what's Caesar's, and render unto God what's God's. So even Jesus, whom we're supposed to emulate, by the way, remember, his character and nature is supposed to come into us and through us and to the world. Didn't try to fight against the Romans. Didn't do it. What did he do? In the end, he just loved on them and treated every person the same. That's what God has called you and I to do. Now, does that mean we shouldn't vote? No. You better vote. You better vote. But here's my point. Each and every one of us are biased in our opinions. whether through our upbringing and the opinions of our parents, the people around us, or whether we watch things or listen to things online, do you know that you are being biased all the time? So let's say you watch a video that is a pro-president video. Let's just say you watch that online, all right? And you're on your smartphone and you watch that. And you're like, okay, yeah, that's pretty cool. Do you know that all the next videos you're going to get, what are they going to be? The same thing. So all of a sudden, you're being twisted and biased. Now, the same thing goes the other way. You know, if you see hate videos about the president, you're all of a sudden going, do you know that that's what the algorithms in your phone does? So without you knowing it, you're being manipulated and controlled. In fact, how many people own a smartphone of some sort? Okay. Set your smartphone down on the counter, and here's an experiment you can do. This is just to have a little fun and maybe scare you a little bit. Start talking about something you normally wouldn't talk about. In other words, say, I want to go to Hawaii for a vacation. And you just keep talking about Hawaii. Maybe for 10, 15 minutes. You know, just about it, keep bringing it up. Do you know what you're going to find on your phone for the next bunch of weeks? All kinds of, come to Hawaii. We got this great deal. They're just going to start popping. And you're like, oh my God, Jesus, thank you. You know, no, that is not Jesus. Okay, that's the bias. Literally, your phone is set to hear what you're saying and then give you what it thinks you want. Now, if that doesn't scare you, it should. But that's how biases happen. You don't even know it's happening. You know, at first, when I used to see it a few years ago, I'm like, oh, that's kind of weird. Now I know what's going on. And so I try to protect myself. You know, I literally shut my phone off now. I don't want it listening to me. There are things I say out loud that I don't want anybody to hear. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's listening. The point is, we are all biased. None of us know the full story on anything that we think we know. So having said that, what do we know? That Jesus loves us, he's got a plan for our lives, and we're called to be a light to the world around us. And no, we just got one eye. We're still trying to work it out, but we got one eye at least, and we can see a little bit, and we can help those around us. So what should we be focused on? That's what we need to be focused on, and not all the politics and all the crazy stuff that's happening. And I got news for you. For the haters, in less than 4 years, a new person can come, and you can decide how you feel about that person, all right? And so my point is, we need to focus on Jesus, all right? Amen. All right, for those that like to take pictures, you want to bring up our 3 points so you can just see that. How do we prepare to hear God's voice? We develop a desire to hear from the Lord. So important, all right? Next, we need to learn to tune out or limit all the other voices in our lives. Take time out to literally shut off all of that, to seek the face of the Lord. And finally, listen to the Holy Spirit's voice with a non-biased mindset. I left the hardest one to the last because that's hard. But I encourage you, Jesus knows what he's doing. He knows our past, our present, and our future right here and now. And so when he speaks, he has everything all planned out, and he knows what he's doing. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Okay, let's stand together. And I'm going to ask you just this question. How many people want to be more than a sheep standing around, but you want to be one that's pursuing Jesus, all right? Slip your hand up in the air, amen? I pray all of you want that, because that's what God wants for you, amen? He wants you to be able to hear his voice. So here's the deal. I could go on now and talk about, well, how do you hear his voice, and how does God speak? Now, that's another week, okay? So come back and maybe we'll talk about it, all right? So, Father, I thank you for all those that raised their hands, and basically everyone here put their hands up and said, I want to hear from you. And, Lord, you are speaking. So I pray we do our part, that we pursue after you, that we have no fear in wanting to hear your voice, because your voice is one of love and compassion and freedom and grace and mercy, all good things when you speak, Lord God. And so, Lord, I pray that we just pursue you, Lord, and we come to that place of knowing that we can trust you. And the Lord God, that we don't have any biases, Lord, that we're literally in a place that we're able to hear you clearly, Lord. And Lord, the other thing, to be able to tune out all those voices, all those other voices that speak so loudly in our lives. Help us to be able to tune those voices out, to diminish them so that we can hear your still small voice in the midst of this chaotic world. One word from you changes everything. And so, Lord, I speak a blessing over your people here, those listening online. And I pray, Lord, that we continue to pursue you with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you this morning.